I got really excited about half a second when everyone was like, oh man, Half-Life 3 is being teased, and it was a lie again. And, but so, you know, someday maybe.
Never.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, probably. Hello, welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for June 26, 2013. Yeah, right? Yeah, how about that?
I'll be damned.
Alrighty, good. That's the day. Alright, hi everyone. Mike and AJ, you know, us, we're usually here. So we're going to talk about, well, there's not a whole lot of news. We kind of come off of, there's like a lot of false news.
Yeah, just like that post-E3 lol.
Yeah, it's like the Half-Life 3 thing, which, I guess Microsoft's like not going to have headsets. We can talk about that for a second because people seem annoyed. But besides that, we're just going to talk about some of the next-gen games we're looking forward to now that things have kind of settled down after E3. And really, everybody kind of talking mostly about the consoles themselves at E3, not so much the games. So just which ones we're looking forward to the most. Then we've been playing some stuff. So I reviewed the Deadpool game. We both got to try out the Final Fantasy XIV Realm Reborn beta and some other stuff. So we want to talk about that. Hit up the community. I will answer some criticism. It'll be fun. Then we'll get to the releases, and that'll be the show. So go ahead. Let's get started here. So we want to talk about the headset thing.
Yeah, real quick.
This is kind of the new jazz. Is that the 360 is not going to come with a headset at all?
Yeah, which is weird. Microsoft's justification is the Kinect can do the voice chat already. So,
but no one's happy about that.
Yeah, it is weird because they've been giving away headsets left and right. And
right, that was one of the smartest things they did with the Xbox 360.
Yeah, because that was always a perceived advantage, was that it had a headset, the PS4 didn't.
And also, it's kind of annoying
because PS3, jeez.
Yeah, I know. But the Xbox One is going to have a proprietary headset.
Yeah, so it's
the
not
PlayStation
like
4 can just use like
a headset. Like, yeah. You could use an Xbox 360 headset in a PlayStation 4 controller, I think, based on the way it hooks up.
But just, like, yeah, it's just, I don't know, I don't get, no one wants to use the Kinect to do this shit. And I understand that, like, you know, it blocks, like, the echo and stuff, but it's still annoying, because first off, that means you're hearing everyone else from your TV.
Yeah.
Which sucks. And also, just anybody, you know, it'll pick up anybody's voice, not just your own.
I'm sure someone will come out with, like, an adapter for this proprietary thing to a standard cable, which would be nice, because then I could use, like, The headset in my wireless, the microphone in my wireless headset. Ugh.
Right, but it just seems like another dumb move.
Well, yeah, you know,
part.
It's like, your console's already $100 more expensive. You got, like, the manufacturing costs on a basic headset like that can't be much.
Right.
Just throw it in there.
I mean,
you're already fighting a perceived price disadvantage.
It's like the PS4, like, has a great headset, but it's something.
Right.
This is weird. You see that, like, apparently dropping the camera from the PlayStation 4 was, like, a last-minute decision, and it was to drop the price.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And they said it was, like, you know, the downside is, like, well, now, you know, the camera's probably not going to be supported by a lot of things because, you know, they don't have to. When that's, like, the argument is that, like, now that everyone has to have a Kinect, like, they're going to support it so much better now. But somebody also said, well, everyone has a six-axis controller, but that didn't exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting if this camera stuff really matters at all. I know. I certainly don't care. You know, speaking of, like, talking about the Kinect, you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the Wii Speak. No one liked that.
Well, the Wii Speak literally was just a microphone sitting on your TV. Like you said, the Kinect does actually reduce echo and things like that.
Everybody is going to want a headset.
Yeah.
So it's just another thing. All right. Yeah, that's, like I said, there's not much else going on, so, well, you know, we could get into the whole Gabe hates transgender people now, which was stupid.
He apologized and gave $20,000. I think that's done.
He didn't even need to. It's, you know, good for him for doing it, but I don't think he needed to. Let's not even get into it.
Okay.
It's the whole thing. All right, because I'm always terrified to talk about this because somehow it'll get interpreted that I'm a bigot. Just because I think everyone's too sensitive about things. All right, so yeah, I just want to talk about, like, what next-gen games we are looking most forward to, personally. So, 3. So,
okay.
Like, if I want to just know, which one next-gen game do you want to get the most? You can have it right now. And, like, something that's been substantially shown. Like, I'm not going to say Kingdom Hearts 3 or Mirror's Edge.
Right. Honestly, for me right now, it's probably Titanfall.
Really?
Yeah, I'm really drinking the Kool-Aid on that.
More than anything else. I mean, it looks cool.
Yeah.
I'm definitely into it more than I thought I would be. It's a cool concept.
Yeah. No, I think I think it showed really well. I like how they're adding, like, kind of story-esque things to multiplayer. I like the whole thing how when a match ends, it's not just a leaderboard. There's, like, the whole extraction thing. I think that's really cool.
Well, it's weird, though. No single-player component at all.
Right.
It's kind of weird. I'm just not used to... Like, what's the last time you paid $60 for a multiplayer-only game? Like, usually at least, like, have something.
Yeah.
And, I mean...
But you know what?
I know everyone plays Call of Duty for the single player, but I mean multiplayer, but I like having that campaign when I have the whole thing.
Yeah, but like I said, that, I mean, I didn't play Black Ops 2, but after playing the Modern Warfare 3 campaign and beating it in less than 5 hours, I was like, okay, yeah. I see where their focus is.
I mean,
it
would be cool. Like, there's some potential there, like having a single player campaign, something more like Halo, where you have these giant mechs and stuff.
Yeah, but what impresses me about the game is how all the hands-on impressions I've heard and read from the game at E3 say the human-to-human combat's fun, the mech-to-mech combat's fun, and the human-to-mech combat is fun.
Right, like, it's not like, just like...
The Titans aren't like a win button, like, oh, I got the Titan, time to go on a killing streak. Like, it's still competitive, like, when you're a human fighting a Titan.
See, that's interesting, though, because that's a really fine balance, because it should feel slightly better. There should be an advantage associated
with
it. Yeah,
I think it just changes your play style. It's almost like a class.
Maybe.
But I think that's really... exciting that they were able to pull that off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's definitely one I'm interested in trying. Mine I'm looking most forward to is really just Metal Gear Solid 5 at this point. I just love the idea of doing an open world one of those. I do like Metal Gear Solid a lot, even the dumb ones.
Well, I'm glad that this seems to be kind of drawing from 3 a bit more.
Well, what's cool is like 4 ended all the Patriot stuff pretty definitively, and although I'm sure some of that will get mentioned, like there will not be
the
Patriot
lolly,
this, Patriot that, government conspiracy this. Okay, there'll probably be a lot of government conspiracies. But, you know, it won't be so... It won't have the Metal Gear... Like I said, like how Metal Gear Solid 4 was like the sequel to 2. This seems like it's going to be the sequel to 3.
Yeah.
And like the Peace Walker and all
hopefully
that
hopefully a more
stuff.
Grounded story that doesn't go all over the place.
And I think I like the game does just look gorgeous. And like the idea of like open world stuff. There's not like...
Well, in a year they said that the trailer they showed... It's going to look better than that.
Really?
Yeah, because that's good. Not done. And they didn't have final hardware to run that on.
Right. I don't know. In Metal Gear games, they just do a lot of things really well. They always are cool small details. I was just watching like some videos on your first Metal Gear Solid. It's just amazing just how much that game was doing back then, really.
Mm-hmm. A quick aside, did you see Kojima like tweet like that he wants someone to remake the first game in the Fox engine?
And now he's already saying that. That's not true. He's like already backtracking from it. Although... Sure, I don't know. I hope they
be
don't.
Cool.
No.
No?
Well, they remade it once already, the Twin Snakes.
Yeah.
Which was kind of weird. If they would do it, I would literally like it to only be a graphical update. I don't want them to put in the first-person shooting from the other games. In Twin Snakes, they redid everyone's voice acting for really
no reason. No reason, yeah, that was weird.
Like, they got rid of everyone's accents and made it canon. But, I don't know. I mean, I am of the opinion... Like, some people that just can't play PlayStation 1 games anymore, like, they just can't handle how different graphics are. I think that stuff still holds up, it's still fine. I think Metal Gear Solid 1 is still a good-looking game.
Yeah, well, like, the argument for it is that, like, you have all these HD collections of, like, every other Metal Gear, but MGS1 is still just a PS1 game and kind of a GameCube game.
I know, but, like, what are you going to do? It's what it is.
Yeah.
You don't have to... I don't like this idea that, like, well... All PlayStation 1 games, or like every 3D game from like the pre-HD era is now irrelevant unless it gets remade.
Well, you know who does like that idea?
Oh.
Publishers.
Yeah, well, because it's
because they can
money,
sell the game.
Right,
yeah.
And I understand that, but it's just like, leave it alone. Just go play Metal Gear Solid. You know, I'd be more interested. I think the better thing to do is just what they do is just release the games as they are in like the PSN store and stuff like that. And that's cool.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
At least, like I said, Metal Gear Solid 1 holds up.
It does.
It's did a lot of things that, like, even just the idea of voice-acted cutscenes, like, a lot to that degree.
Like, even though the mouths didn't move in that game, it doesn't really bother you.
Just, like, some of, like, the crazy little things you can do, like, if you knock on a door right now, something like, it's a completely different line of dialogue, or if you hurry up over here, this girl has less clothes on, it's just, like, all this stuff that's, like, some of that stuff would be neat now. Again, the clothes thing sounded creepy in that context, but that's just my example.
Yeah.
But, no, the idea is, like, I do like these games. I like the basic... I do love its brand of stealth action, probably the best out of everybody who does that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, Dishonored was cool, but, like, it's kind of, like, action stealth, not really...
Stealth.
Like, yeah. And, it's just, like, I don't know, again, like, there hasn't... Are there really a lot of open-world stealth games? There's been a lot of open environment, kind of like Thief and stuff.
Yeah. You know, yeah, like, right. Like, Dishonored again. Like, yeah. They were very big open levels, but it wasn't right. Open world.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's going to be interesting just where they
take
that.
Yeah, I don't think there really is one now that I think about it. I'm sure we're forgetting something obvious, but...
Yeah, but again, just... But Metal Gear Solid 4, at least in my mind, that still was, like, one of the best-looking PS3 games. And the Xbox engine does look awesome. I like the voice guys. Like, you know, they have Troy Baker as Ocelot and stuff like that. It looks like there's going to be a good, healthy amount of fan service. I'm excited for it. All right, what else for you?
Probably next for me, actually might be Destiny. Try not to overlap.
You're loving these shooters.
I was going to say MGS5.
Oh, really?
You were? Yeah.
So you are looking forward to that, then.
Oh, that's sure.
Cool. Destiny did look cool. It showed well. It kind of looks like a more mature Borderlands. Well, it's
like
the online thing.
It's like a Borderlands mixed with Halo and Guild Wars 2,
mm-hmm.
which is fine by me. I feel like what they showed was kind of weird because it was like really dark. Like, couldn't see what was going on, dark.
Yeah, we're in a cave and stuff.
But I like the flavor of the game, like how these characters kind of look like weird space cowboys with science magic.
Science magic.
Like that, like the capes and stuff. Like, yeah, I think the aesthetic is very cool. Mm-hmm. Like the whole getting speeder bikes and doing missions on, like, Mars and the moon.
Yeah, it's like, the only concern with that game is, like, it's going to be so ambitious. I hope it all kind of comes together. Because there's games, like even like PlanetSide 2, there's so much like that it wants to do, and I don't really know how much of it gets right.
Well, the way I see it in my head is like, you know, Bungie were the ones who kind of made playing a first-person shooter on a console work and a big deal.
Right.
So why not them be the ones to do kind of the next big thing in like multiplayer gaming?
But usually the people who you expect to do the next big thing are never the ones who do the next big thing, you know what I mean?
True. I mean, Titanfall could easily be the next big thing. People might really gravitate towards that.
No, I don't think Titanfall is going to be the next big thing. I think it'll be cool. I think people will like it.
I don't think
the next big thing is going to be another competitive multiplayer shooter.
I don't mean next big thing as in, like, the thing that dethrones Call of Duty from the Xbox Live. I mean, like...
Is that what we're talking about?
No, I kind of meant more like just the next kind of new way of playing multiplayer that other people start copying.
Well, again, that's kind of the same thing to me. But I don't know. We'll see. My next one would probably be, and I lost my train of thought, I know it was another sequel. Oh, it's Final Fantasy 15, which I don't know how excited you are for that.
I need to see more on it. Honestly, all I saw was what they showed at Sony's thing. I really haven't dug into it more.
Right. I was kind of impressed with it, because like, I really wasn't that excited for this game back when it was Final Fantasy Versus 13, other than the fact, because it kind of looked a little too... angsty back then.
There wasn't much to even judge.
Right. Well, it was so heavy on that Nomura style with the zippers and...
Yeah, which is just getting old. But it is.
But that trailer, though, like, it had some really nice, like, character moments. And, like, it was more solemn than I was expecting without being, like, angsty, you know? Like, it was kind of, like, sad. I know this shit sucks, but, you know, like, there was, like, that moment where, like, the kid was, like, eating his soup. He's like, oh, this is bad. And the guy's like, don't say that. They'll fire the cook, you jerk, you know? And I was like, oh, it's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
And like, again, the combat, it looks kind of over the top in a way.
Have you read more hands-on or
I really just
deeper
seen...
impressions? Okay, like, can you explain the combat system to me at all?
Not personal, not really. Okay. Right now. I mean, like I said, it's a Kingdom Hearts guy. It looks kind of like a mix between Kingdom Hearts and Crisis Core, remember, for the PSP?
I like that game.
Crisis Core is good. Crisis Core is underrated. So
you can't download that to a Vita, can you?
I don't think so.
That's weird.
Maybe. I don't know how that shit works.
A lot of Square Enix games weren't on there.
Oh, right. Yeah, because you can't do Birth by Sleep, right?
I don't think so.
Right. Weird. But, you know, I think it's a good-looking game. I'm sort of interested to see how, like, the party dynamic works, because you do have a party still.
I wonder if it'll almost adapt, like, either something from Final Fantasy XIII's way of doing it, or even 12's.
That's what's interesting, like, because, you know, you could get away with a more linear style. I know everyone complained about it before, but if it's an action RPG, it's a little bit more acceptable to, like, not have, like, a world map and stuff like that. Mm. I doubt there will be a world map or anything. It is kind of weird, because it's not what a lot of people, including myself, kind of said they wanted, where, like, we wanted a real throwback, kind of like 9 again.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be next. I don't know.
In a way, too, like... this wasn't supposed to be Final Fantasy 15.
Right.
So maybe that is the plan for the next one, but this is like, well, let's
like,
do
we need
this.
Final Fantasy 15. But it kind of seems like it's up to the test. But that's what's kind of nice about it. Like, it, in a way, it feels so un-Final Fantasy, but in a good way. Like, Final Fantasy 13, despite it being weird, it was very much what Final Fantasy had been at that point. It was very much like a continuation of what happened in like 8, 10, and 13 are kind of all building off of each other with their sort of like weird futuristic military sci-fi thing. And this is a bit more 12 and stuff like that.
Let me ask you this real quick. So
maybe not more like 12, but it's more its own thing is what I want to say.
So Final Fantasy 10 HD and 10.2 HD. It's what it was. Like a bundle for PS3, then individually each on Vita.
Yeah.
Which one are you most interested in getting of those three?
Well, that's interesting. Oh, those three?
Like if you had to buy one first, like would you rather have them both on the PS3
as or
one
on your Vita? As lag on the Vita versions, I would get both of them separately on the Vita, because I think I like having RPGs portable. It's a nice thing.
That's the wrong answer.
Why?
The correct answer is I buy them all, so that Square Enix makes Final Fantasy 12 HD.
Yeah, right. No, hopefully they do that, because that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, but I agree. I probably would get... I don't know if I'd play 10 first or 10.2.
I never played 10.2.
Yeah, and like 10, I never beat it, but I did get really far and then literally lost my copy of the game, found it, and then lost it a week later.
That was more than 10 years ago now. I think it would all feel pretty fresh.
Well, right, but at the same time, it's like, I know what happens. I watched you beat it.
There's a game that could probably use some reworked voice acting as opposed to Metal Gear
Solid. Did they rework the voice acting for these HD things?
I do not know. I'm sure, I think the laughing scene stuff will still be there.
Yeah.
All that infamous crap. But, you know, Square seems to be turning things around, hopefully. So, speaking of which, we'll get into that later if I'm supporting. Okay, what's your third?
My third, and this is a game that I almost completely missed from E3, because I didn't watch the Ubisoft press conference, but I kind of followed up on it after hearing good things. The Division. Are you familiar with
this
game?
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with it. It was at the end of the Ubisoft thing.
Did you see the gameplay demo? I don't know what they showed.
It was a big gameplay thing they showed. They had
three people went to a police station.
I don't know if I'm as high on this as everyone else.
I am because I've been thinking in my head how cool a game like this would be years ago, and this is kind of that.
See,
from what they showed. I mean, it could be a case of really good vertical slice.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It seems like so typical of a lot of things. And as I'm saying, it's like a lot of games I picked have been are open world games, but it's just like it's another open world game with like this kind of vague multiplayer component. And it's like,
well, the things that I really like about it, I like, first of all, I think like the interface is really slick. Like, I like how all that works.
It's all like,
I'm really curious to see how the whole tablet integration with
it works. Like the second screen thing's a big deal.
It's not even second screen. I mean, it's primary screen. It's just a different way of interacting with the game where for those who don't know. So, basically, the game's kind of like an open-world third-person shooter that you're playing cooperatively with friends. There's like a PvP. I think it's just really an MMO. They said it might even be free-to-play. There might be monthly fees. They don't know. They haven't figured that out yet. But in the gameplay demo they showed, three people were like having a shootout at a police station. And then a fourth player was controlling like a drone from an iPad. And he like flies over and like tags enemies and drops some buffs and things like that. And then just kind of flies off and he was done. I thought that was just really cool, like how you could be playing it, and maybe I'm doing something else. We say, hey, can you just grab your iPad real quick and help us out? Like, yeah, sure.
See, but like, if I was going to pick one of these like open world games, I would pick Watch Dogs over The Division right now, I think. Because I think Watch Dogs looks like it's doing some kind of neat stuff with like all the crazy hacking and like sort of surveillance stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas The Division, it looks cool, it looks pretty, but it looks all kind of familiar, except for like that second screen thing. My third one is Knack, and really, it's for no other reason than, like I said, all these games kind of have a similar thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
They're all kind of, like, grimy and open world and blah, blah, blah. And Knack's just, it's, like, unapologetically a colorful cartoon action platformer.
Right. I think, like...
And I like the particle effect stuff, and it looks cool.
I like Knack, but I feel like I'd definitely go see the Knack movie. I'm just worried the Knack game is going to be a little simple.
Maybe, but maybe not. I mean, that's kind of always the worry.
And that's kind of what people said about it.
Well,
like, you jump, you smash
things. Can take you a long way, though.
True, true.
Like, as long as it's not, like, Skylander simple.
Right. So I'm worried it might be.
Well, we'll see. But it's like it's the one I'm keeping my eye on, because I think, like I said, it looks different. And I think it's kind of cool, because, like, everybody's showing us how, you know, realistic graphics can look next year now, and that's nice. But it's really neat to see, like, just how close we are really getting to, like, a CG
the Pixar
cartoon.
Yeah,
and
it's
like,
everyone wants...
like, something like Knack. Like, whoa, that's awesome. Let's get more of that. Okay.
Can I throw in an honorable mention?
Yeah, what?
Elder Scrolls Online.
Well, I don't know if that counts.
It's next gen.
Whatever.
I'm getting excited for that.
Speaking of online, let's talk about Final Fantasy XIV. Because there was a beta thing this weekend, and we both played it on the PS3, you play on the PC for a little
bit. Very briefly, but yeah. But, enough to get a flavor of
it. We both made characters and got them to, like, about level... You got a little further than me. I got to, like, level 7.
Yeah, I think I got to 8 or 9. I wish I got to 10. I could have gotten
You did one of your first milestone story quests. But, I don't know, why don't you start? What did you think?
I'm a little split on it, because first of all, it was way better than I expected. Mm-hmm. Especially having played the beta, the pre-launch open beta of the original Final Fantasy
XIV. See, I have basically no experience with the original.
Yeah, it was shit. Yeah, there's a reason I didn't buy that game after playing that beta. It was bad. Like, real bad. Confusing and laggy and just bad. So, playing on the PS3, first of all, the controller interface is great.
Yeah, it definitely probably the best I've seen for an MMO.
Yeah, basically, you have basic actions mapped to the face buttons, like select and jump and stuff, and then when you hold down L2 or R2, the face buttons and the D-pad can all have things mapped to them. So you have kind of quick access to 16 skills at a time.
Right,
and then
it becomes like your hot bar.
You could cycle to new bars, too. So that was really great. I thought that worked really well. The thing is, it's still kind of a basic hotbar MMO.
It is a hotbar MMO.
You know, you're watching cooldowns. You could combo some attacks, which gives it a little more variety.
So you could, but like I was basically a black mage character. There wasn't a whole lot I can do except like trigger my spell and wait for the cooldown, which was, you know, it was kind of slow.
One smart thing they do, like, and this was a problem in the original Final Fantasy XIV, all the towns were huge. Which, like, you're kind of like, wow, this is so cool. It's like a place, but it's like, God, I just want to go turn this quest in. I got to walk for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So what they did in this one, they had this idea called the Aether Net through the Aether Shards. Basically, once you discover all the Aether Shards in a town, you can just jump between them freely.
Yeah, it's like a little teleport thing.
Yeah, and then there's the giant one that's like basically like a bind point, like an inn in World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing is, you can use the return spell every 15 minutes to go back to your primary one for free. Or you can use the teleport spell at any time. It's basically like having a flight path in your pocket.
Yeah.
Like, you can go to anyone, you have to pay the fee, you can mark three of them as your favorite, and then they get a reduced fee.
Yeah, so it makes traveling a lot faster.
Yeah.
But really, like, the things I love about this so far is just all the design and kind of atmospheric things. Like,
yeah, it definitely is pretty...
Yeah, like, the city, like, there's three, like, main cities you start in. What's cool is, like, your starting area isn't, it's not about your,
race.
Your race. No, it's more about
your class.
And like the one I went to, it was kind of like this sort of Arabian themed place.
Mm-hmm. And I was like in a very piratey themed place, which I liked.
Yeah, and it was cool. Like, just like the design of it is all kind of magnificent and awesome, but the music is breathtaking. The music's awesome.
Yeah,
I don't know if the music is like a holdover.
I think it is, but there's additional stuff. But all the original stuff from 14 that is in Realm Reborn is Nobuo Uematsu.
Right, and who had not really fully scored a Final Fantasy game since 9. Or maybe 10.
Or 10.
I think 10. Yeah, 10. No, I think, 10. But the music's great, and like, it's cool because like, there's a day-night cycle in the game. It's not really, you know, it's just like...
It's not real time. It's accelerated.
But it was like, there was like this theme that they played for my city. It was awesome. It was very bombastic and day. And then at night, there was like a soft piano version.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was just cool. And, you know, it has a real good Final Fantasy feel to it. You know, there's a lot of guilds and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just like, the NPCs, it kind of just reminds me of being in a Final Fantasy town talking to the NPCs. Just like the tone of it in a weird way.
A surprising lack of voice acting in this game.
It's a little weird right now. I don't know if they're going to add that or what.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a result of beta or what. But one thing that the game does that's really smart, that is the log system.
Mm-hmm.
The only one I got into is the hunting log. But basically, it's just kind of like... You can almost think of it like challenges in Call of Duty, where there's constantly things in the world for you to do to like build progress that aren't really a quest.
Mm-hmm.
So the hunting log is just, you know, kill 5 of these things when you see them and 4 of these.
And like, you don't have to like, complete the quest, it just immediately you get your
reward
for it.
That's kind of nice. And like all the creatures that count towards the log have a mark so you can see.
Another thing I really like, there's not a lot of trash inventory in the game.
No, that's good.
Like almost all of like the stuff you need to like make stuff, you don't get it from grinding people. You either get it as quest rewards or by, you know, like going out and like doing being in a profession where you go try to like make things or harvest things.
I think it's a minor thing. It really doesn't matter, but I just think it's funny how like whenever you have to turn in an item in a quest, like it brings up this give dialogue box so you can like select
necessary.
But like there's only one option. It's not like you could give them the wrong thing. Like why doesn't it just do it?
Yeah, that's one thing.
Like, I was like, this is
like, why are you preparing? Always preparing, just go.
The Fate system, I guess we should talk about. Did you get to participate in that much?
A little bit. It's basically kind of like what the Guild Wars thing, except not as well. Like, it doesn't do as good a job explaining what you're doing exactly.
Yeah, well, there's like...
And it seems to always be putting
like
me...
There's block of text in your quest log, but by the time you're in there, like, shit's attacking you, so you can't really read it.
Right. I mean, it's a fine idea. I like those, like, that kind of... doing those organic things like that, but...
There's one more thing I wish this game would steal from Guild Wars, and the whole idea of mob tagging.
Oh, right.
Like, I don't think there's mob tagging in a Fate, but everywhere else there is.
Yeah, there's, like, some form of it.
Yeah, which is just... I hate
it kinda,
that.
It seems like it's an archaic idea.
Yeah, it really is.
But another thing is, like, it seems like you're leveling up pretty fast in this game.
Yeah, and I'm sure that'll hit a wall at some point.
And, well, they said they want you to get to the max level pretty quickly, and they say, like, the one lesson they're learning from, the Old Republic is they have a lot of endgame content when the game's ready to go, and they want people to get there and start playing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it's good. And I really feel like the gameplay is really going to shine a lot more once you start doing more grouping stuff. Even though they said, like, you know, you can do your story and that stuff single easily, which is nice. Like, I get that. And then, like, when you do, like, the other things, like the questing stuff, that's when you win.
I guess we should talk about, too, like, how classes even work in this
game. Yeah, and it's kind of... It's neat. It's
based on the weapon you have equipped. So you could, in theory, level up every class with one character.
Well, 11 did something kind of similar where, like, you could just change your class. And the way it works is you pick a class, and then once you get to level 10, you can just start switching your class. Whenever. You can even switch it to, like, their specific class. Like, you don't just have, like, a profession. You have to switch to, like, an herbalist.
Yeah, the gathering things are considered a class.
Right, and they level up separately and stuff. And what's cool is, like, there are kind of advanced classes that are jobs. Like, jobs are what classes have always been called.
Yeah, fantasy. Basically, it's like you need to have, like, one class leveled to 30 and another to 15.
Which is kind of
neat. And they said, like, the jobs are more meant for, like, raid-type content.
Because they're more, like, advanced and stuff like that. So, it's kind of neat. But like I said, I'm liking it more than I thought. I think it's cool.
I'm just struggling. Like, when it comes out, is this something I want to pay $15 a month for? When I could get a very similar experience out of Guild Wars 2?
I guess the tipping point would be how much you like that Final Fantasy flavor,
right?
Which I enjoy a lot. Yeah. And like I said, there's a big 12 feel to a lot of
it, which is good.
It has a lot of that, especially like just in the design and stuff.
So anyway, the other thing we should talk about. So you got into the beta. And it said, like, here's your PS3 beta.
Yeah, but you
code.
Can still download the PC one, which I
didn't
try.
And I logged into it, fired it up. There's a Final Fantasy 14 benchmark tool you could download that lets you, like, just kind of run through, like, the in game to see how your computer handles it. It looks night and day better.
I was a little surprised. Like, not design wise, the game's great, but, like, graphically on the PlayStation 3, I was a little designed.
It's very muddy.
Yeah, it's very muddy, it's running, and things in the distance have really low frame rates.
Well, it only runs at 720p, and it's, like, not even quite, like, it's. I guess it's 30 frames per second. I guess, when you play it, like, on full high res on the PC with all the graphical effects turned up all the way,
what kind of sucks is I like the controller support for the game works really well.
Well, you can still use the controller in PC, but it's weird how they implement it. First of all, you have to, like, manually turn it off and on. It doesn't just, like, automatically switch whatever you're using.
Yeah.
The only difference between the PS3's controller support and the PC's, when you're on the PS3, you hit start. It brings up, like, a cross-media bar sort of interface.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to, like, the map, the inventory.
You get a hotbar a lot of those things. Hotcam, I mean.
When you do in the PC, just all those icons are in the bottom right of the screen, and pushing start just drops a cursor down there, and you scroll through it. And it works. It's just weird that they wouldn't include that crossbar thing in there, you know?
No, right. I know what you mean. I feel like the way... I hope the PlayStation 4 version, like, looks amazing.
It should.
Know?
It should look like the PC one,
and
I would
these things are cross-compatible, right?
Yes. That's a big deal. All three versions will share the same servers, which is nice. I mean, I know this because, you know, I played the same character on both platforms.
Right.
Just what's weird, too, when the game comes out, it's $40 on PS3 and $30 on PC.
Well, PC games are usually $10.
Yeah, so $10 less for the better-looking version. Guess which one I would get, if at all. The only thing that sucks, too, though, is, like, if you want to get it for PS4, you are going to have to buy it again.
Yeah, well...
I mean, you'll get a free month out of it,
I guess.
That's
how it goes.
I wonder if, like, in theory, if I bought the PC version, you bought the PS3 version, like, but if we could install it on both computers and both PlayStations, I don't see why it wouldn't.
Interesting. Yeah.
Just for the sake of having the option on either one.
But, now, We both played a little bit of 11, not a whole lot. I never got into it.
A pretty good chunk. I had that in college.
Yeah, I never really got into it, but do you think this is better than 11?
Oh, yeah. 11 was slow.
11 was real slow.
Like, in the beginning of 11, you were fighting these rabbits. It would take 5 minutes to kill one. Mm-hmm. And, it was cool because it had that Final Fantasy veneer to it. Mm-hmm. The theory of the advanced classes are cool, but I never got close to that.
Right.
It was very group dependent, and I didn't have a group of friends playing it. So
yeah. So I'm definitely excited to try some more of 14. Mm-hmm. I've been having fun.
It should go to open beta soon. So
I reviewed the Deadpool game,
and I watched you play some of it.
Yeah, and some people are being kind of rough on this game. It's not the prettiest girl in town, you know. It's very much, I don't use a word generic, but it's a pretty typical action kind of game, you know. Mm-hmm. You have guns,
beat 'em up.
But its mechanics are solid, and there is some cool stuff, especially like he has like this teleporting ability, like a short range teleporter, which is kind of fun, and just switching between the guns and the swords is neat. But like, really, like, the important thing is the game is funny. Like, if you like Deadpool, the character,
you play this game because you like Deadpool and you like that humor. It's very crass, lowbrow.
It's very crass, lowbrow, and it's very self-referential. Like, that's Deadpool saying he breaks the fourth wall. So, like, you know, in the beginning game, it's funny. Like, he calls Nolan North, like, oh, we need you to do the voice, man, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny.
Yeah.
You know, there's, like, these, you know, like, a couple supervillains are attacking him, and he, like, rightfully calls them D-listers and makes fun of them, and just you know, all this, it's all very amusing. I think it's kind of exactly what I would want from a Deadpool game.
Yeah, it was 5 hours, you said?
Yeah, it's short. That's maybe the biggest, like, downer for it was, like, you know, I could have maybe used a couple more hours.
Yeah, if you paid $60 for it, that probably sucks.
I don't think it is $60.
Oh, really? That's good. I mean, if you get it for, like, it's on PC. Like, if it's, like, $20 on Steam, on, like,
it's
on
probably
sale,
a great rental, because you could beat it in a couple sittings. But well, I think
or
it's
if you
worth
get it at the right
it.
Price, I think it's worth it.
But especially if you like Deadpool, I think you'll have a great time playing it. It really is really fun. I don't want to just, like, tell you what was funny. I don't want to ruin all the jokes and all that, but I was kind of surprised. I really thought I was going to dislike it more. And I'm a little surprised that some people are being so rough on it. Maybe it is because it is so crass, and crass really isn't in right now, but...
Yes.
I was surprisingly amused. I thought it was a lot of fun. Probably one of the better superhero games I played, really. Like, you know, besides, like, the amazing ones, like the Batmans. The one thing I like, too, is, like, the combat is kind of like Batman, like all superhero games are now, where you kind of have the counter button.
Right.
But it's not nearly as counter-dependent. Like, in Batman and, like, that Spider-Man game, you're basically, like, waiting to counter people to kill them.
Yeah, isn't, like, in the hard modes on Batman, like, you could only hurt guys by countering?
Really?
I think so.
Yeah, see, this is not nearly as counter-dependent. It happens far less frequently, and generally you're fine without it. So, yeah, it was cool. Well, what else did you play?
Did I talk about, XCOM last week? I can't remember.
Well, you talked to me about it. I can't remember if it was on the show or not. I think you did.
If I did, I barely touched it. Well, but I just wanted to say real quick,
because you're telling the faces don't move and stuff.
Yeah. It's a great way to play the game for the reason that, like, when you're controlling all these characters from, like, this tablet for some reason, it feels like...
Like you're a commander?
Yeah, like
you're
like,
telling him where to go.
Exactly. Because the game already did a really good job in the base building part of it of, you know, having him, like the characters are talking to you, like, I'll go talk to the commander. Ah, commander, here you are. Like, we need to run this by you. Like, I always like that about it. So, like, that part still feels immersive. Now, like, just the fact that you're using all these multi-touch gestures and swiping through things. The interface is great. They did such a good job tweaking that interface to work for touch control. Mm. I actually haven't fired it up on my iPhone yet, though. I can't imagine it works as well just because of the lack of screen real estate. Mm-hmm. But... Yeah, it's super awesome. Easily recommended.
Anything else?
The other thing, it's on both iPad and PC, and I'm stalling because I'm trying to pull up the name of it because I always fuck it up.
Well, if you don't remember the name...
No, it's Might and Magic Duel of Champions. I couldn't remember what it was a duel of. I was going to say Heroes.
Someone's dueling.
It's a CCG that you can play. Like I said, it's PC and iPad, and it's the same account on them all. It's kind of Magic the Gathering-esque, but it does one thing that's really cool. Resources are not cards. Just every turn, you just gain a resource point.
Okay, this kind of... Like, Uncharted card game kind of something sort of stuff.
Oh, really? I never played that. That's right.
Well, it wasn't so much every turn you get them, but yeah, the resources weren't cards. You had, a resource point value, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, so, like, every turn, you gain more resources, which is smart, because it encourages you to keep, like, low-level cards in your deck. Because otherwise you're screwed. basically, it uses this whole lane concept where on your side of the screen, you have a front line and a back line. Front lines are melees, back lines are ranged.
Sounds like you're starting to get way too in-depth into the mechanics of this card game.
I'm going to make it make sense. And then
I know you're going to make it sense, but I just don't care.
I know. Well, then you have flying units.
That's fine.
But one thing I like is, like, it does, like, all the free-to-play games do. There's, like, you get the in-game gold, but then there's, like, the seals, and those are the things you buy. But when you go in the store, there are certain booster packs that are only purchased with in-game gold. Like, you can't get them with seals.
Okay.
And they actually give you a lot of seals for playing the campaign.
That's cool.
Like, I have enough to buy a whole bunch of booster packs, actually. I'm waiting a bit. And then if you go to Penny Arcade, you can get a code to get, like, 3 free booster packs and a bunch of seals.
Neat.
So, yeah, it's really, really good.
Okay. Do you want to talk about the community? Excuse me.
Yeah,
Stuart Simpson had a bone to pick. Well, because I was kind of dismissing Admiral Minecraft. Yeah, the Minecraft on Xbox One. And, you know, he rightfully pointed out that it's a big deal. And I'm not saying, like, you know, Minecraft's not a big deal. I just don't know. I don't know if it's really all that important that it's going to be on the Xbox One when it's already been on the 360. 5 million people already had there.
I think it's not so much that it's important it's on the Xbox One. I think it's more important that it's not on PS4.
Maybe. I guess. But, I mean, are 5 million people going to really buy the game again on...
If their kids are the one playing it, possibly.
Maybe.
A lot of kids like Minecraft.
I guess so. I mean, like I said, I'm not trying to hate on Minecraft. I like Minecraft fine. I just don't know if... Maybe it is a huge deal. It's certainly not something I'm excited about personally.
I don't think it's going to sell systems.
No.
But I feel like people who have an Xbox are going to buy Minecraft.
I feel like more than anything, it's just going to be good for, you know, Minecraft to be on the Xbox One.
Microsoft gets a cut of all sales.
Yeah,
so.
I know. But, all right. So, I'm sorry for being a dummy. All right.
Well, you know what I meant to talk about real quick?
Whenever you say this, it's usually never anything I want to talk about.
It goes back to the Xbox 180 thing. Okay. It was a thought I had. That they didn't have to go full 180.
Oh, yeah, but...
Couldn't they not have accomplished everything they wanted to do with, like, sharing and the installing the games to the hard drive, not needing the disc? Okay, 24-hour online check. 24 hours come by. Hey, I can't connect to the internet. Okay, well, is the disc in the tray? And then, boom, all the problems are solved?
I have no idea, AJ. I don't know. I still don't even understand what their original plans were, so I can't speculate on fixing
it. I just think that would have fixed everything.
Maybe. All right, you ready for the releases?
Yeah. Company of Heroes 2 came out.
Yeah.
Which I feel like an idiot. I had the beta, like, installed, and I never got around to playing it.
Yeah, I never really got into this series. It kind
of intimidates
me. From
what I understand, the campaign is just okay, but the multiplayer it's still pretty similar to Company Heroes 1, just more stuff to it. Mm. But they have a mode that's best described as like Spec Ops from Call of Duty, and everyone says it's really good, actually.
Deadpool came out for PC, PS3, 360. I recommend it. Don't listen to haters. Project X Zone for 3DS. I still don't quite understand what this is. It's like a weird crossover strategy game.
It's what, Capcom, Sega, and Bandai?
I thought it was Namco.
Namco, yeah.
Yeah, which is Namco Bandai, so.
Right. The only thing is, like, I don't know many of those characters. It's like a third of the crossovers are
all... Well, they're all relatively pretty Japanese characters anyways.
Yeah.
But
it's got Mega Man and Ooh-La-La.
It's got, like, Tails characters and stuff like that. So it's weird, but...
Hey, whatever.
Dark for PC.
Dark.
Mirimusa Rebirth for Vita.
Oh, cool. I didn't know they were doing that.
Best of PlayStation Network Volume 1. I haven't heard about this.
What's in it?
I can't even see the thing.
Is that Plants vs. Zombies? I'm trying to see it from here.
One second. I get this. The game and Wario.
Hey. Oh, you played that.
Yeah, there's not much to say. It's a fine minigame collection.
That's good.
But it is a minigame collection. Alright, I have no idea what's on this.
Yeah, that doesn't really clear it up.
Once Fat Princess.
Oh, people still play that? Yeah,
alright, thanks for listening to the Explain Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com, follow our Twitter, Facebook accounts, and go to our Google Plus page and talk to us about anything, and we'll bring it up here next week on the show. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Bro Podcast.
Bye-bye. Bye.